الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحج أشهر معلومات فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الحج المبرور ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected of my kiram, brothers and elders. The very great ibadat of Hajj, one of the pillars of Islam, and which is ordained by Allah Ta'ala upon those who have the ability and the means to undertake it. This is a bounty and a ni'mat beyond what anybody can imagine. So the one who is invited by Allah Ta'ala for this very great opportunity and this great ni'mat and bounty of performing Hajj, one very important aspect is to recognize the greatness of this and to be conscious of it. That this is not just any other journey, just any other going and coming. This is way beyond anything of that nature. Just to touch very briefly, this is just going to be a little bit of discussion on the part of how to try and make the Hajj a truly spiritual Hajj. So in any case, the very important part of this is to be conscious of the virtues of Hajj. So for that, we will just touch on one or two virtues now. But the very important aspect is the Kitab of Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullah Alayhi, Virtues of Hajj. That should be read from cover to cover before a person departs for Hajj, and it should be taken along as well. And at the different occasions, to try and refresh what is relevant to that occasion. So this is an extremely important part of making this Hajj, a Hajj filled with ruhaniyat, with spirituality. Not something that's just a mechanical fulfillment of some action. So in any case, in the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, man hajja lillah falam yarfus walam yafsuq raja'aka yawmin waladathu ummu. The one who performs hajj lillah, for Allah Ta'ala, no other motive. We'll touch on this briefly just now again, but he's made hajj purely for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, and there was no infringements of the rights of hajj. Falam yarfus, those things that are forbidden in terms of the rites of Hajj, any kind of intimate talk also, any other kind of such actions, even with one's halal spouse in the time of Ihram. And then no sin he committed, didn't do anything that contravenes the rites of Hajj or any other infringement of the laws of Shariat. And he performed his Hajj in this manner and came. So the virtue of this is beyond what we can imagine. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Raja'aka yawmin waladathu ummu. He comes back like the day he was born. So the day he was born completely clean, he comes back in that state. And therefore in one hadith it is mentioned, when a haji returns, before he gets back home, ask him for dua. Ask him to make dua for you, because he's coming back in this condition. And his dua being a person now who is coming back in this condition, very close to acceptance. So this is the virtue of even asking dua from the haji before he returns home. And then in another hadith sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-Hajjul Mabroor laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-jannah. Hajjul Mabroor, what is Hajjul Mabroor? Inshallah we'll discuss a little bit of that also just now. But the reward of this Hajjul Mabroor is only Jannah. And one understanding of this is that this is direct Jannah then. If he preserved this, then direct Jannat. So in any case, this is a very, very great bounty of Allah Ta'ala, and this is by the invitation of Allah Ta'ala. So we should be very grateful for this. Person should truly regard himself as very fortunate, not on a note of being proud of anything, but to become even more completely immersed in gratitude to Allah Ta'ala. In any case, anything that we see around us, ourselves, things around us, whatever, there's one outward form of it, some inner existence, and there's a soul and a life and a spirit in it. Insan himself is a combination of this outer form, this body, and the inner soul and spirit that is within him. If you take either one of the two away, once upon a time there was only the ruh in alam-e arwah. It wasn't referred to as insan in alam-e arwah. Their ruh and their souls were there. And then one day when that body in which the soul is currently in, and the person is walking, talking, everything is carrying on, but one day that soul is going to leave. So now that body that's there, you no more say insan is lying. You say janaza, mayyit, the deceased. Even his name goes away. No more refer to him by his name. You say the mayyit of so and so. So that combination of that body and soul made up insan. So therefore, just like we have this outer form and the spirit in these aspects, in whether it's insan, anything else, likewise in a'mal. In every amal, there's an outer form, but there's a life and soul and spirit in it. There's a ruh in it. In terms of salah, there's outer form. There's qiyam, there's takbir at-tahrima, there's qiyam, there's ruku, there's sujood. There's outer form of salah. And it's very important that that outer form of salah is also done properly and correctly. Because if that outer form is not done well, though the ruh of that salah might have been in it, what is the ruh of that salah? It's done with total ikhlas for Allah Ta'ala alone. And with khushu and khudu, with that devotion, concentration, that's the ruh of salah. So now the person got full ikhlas, and he's got full concentration, devotion, but the outer form was not in the way that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam thought and described, then this too will not receive the very great bounty of acceptance. One person came in the masjid and he performed his salah, but he did it a little bit differently from what was thought by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was hasty in his qawma, in his jalsa. So after he completed his salah, now we cannot ever imagine that there was any deficiency in the ruh of salah in his case. Sahabi, but they were all going through the learning process still. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam called him and told him, after he came, he made salam, he said, irji' fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli. Go and repeat your salah, you did not perform your salah. 3 times this happened. And after the 3rd time, he said, please teach me how to perform the salah. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam then described, and the highlight in this was, on every posture, do it very calmly, properly. So the point was that there was some deficiency in the fulfillment of that salah in terms of its outward form. That too didn't receive that acceptance, lam tusalli. And therefore, the manner of performing salah was, sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, perform your salah as you see me performing it. So the sahaba learnt it from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They performed it accordingly. They passed it on. And this came down, the generations preserved. So if it's not done in its proper form, then too it's a problem. And if the soul is missing, then it's a complete problem. Then it's dead. So just as this is the case with salah, the same thing applies to every other amal. And the same thing applies to hajj. That one is the outer form of hajj. There is ihram, there is talbiyah, there is tawaf, there is sa'i, there is going to Mina, and then going to Arafat, and going to Muzdalifah, and coming back to Mina, and then performing the rami, and the tawaf of ziyara, all the various rites. These are all the aspects of the outer form of hajj. If this is not done in the way that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught, because this is what he thought practically, and he said, خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. Learn the rites of Hajj from me. See how I'm doing it. And do it accordingly. So he taught the manner of Hajj practically himself and then emphasized it. Learn it. خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. So the outer form and the outer aspects of Hajj also have to be done right. Person feels, I'll do it my way a little bit. Cut some corners here and there. Find some loopholes. Now staying in Mina, a little bit difficult for me. I'll just come do the Rami the next day. And not fulfilling the Sunnah aspects of Hajj also properly. Something that's beyond a person's capacity and capability is obviously excused in it. But just out of sheer laziness, or just trying to just make things a little bit more comfortable for oneself. So many sunnats are neglected. Then that aspect of qabooliyat that is being desired, which brings these very, very great rewards, Allah forbid we get left out in that. The farz will get fulfilled. But the farz getting fulfilled doesn't mean that we got the highest level of passing in this great ibadat. So one is getting the farz completed, but a person wants these great rewards as well. And the reward is not al-hajj, laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-jannah. Al-hajjul mabroor. That hajj which is mabroor, on that is the virtue that there's nothing but jannat. So therefore, that outer form of that hajj also has to be done correctly. So for that, inshallah, the detailed discussion will take place, that how to go about the various aspects of hajj in the correct manner. But now nevertheless, coming back to what our discussion is, that how to make this hajjul mabroor. So one is the aspect that was already just touched on, that what is the meaning of hajjul mabroor? And all these aspects will make it mabroor. Mabroor is what is required. Mabroor comes from the word bir. Bir means virtue. A hajj filled with every virtue. Now one is the explanation that is in the Hadith Sharif. On one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, gave this virtue. So the Sahaba inquired, وَمَا بِرُّهَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Now there's two narrations, two aspects mentioned in one, and another third aspect mentioned in the second narration. But the three aspects that are mentioned in the definition of this mabroor, وَمَا بِرُّهَا, what is the birr and the virtue of hajj? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, إِطْعَامُ الطَّعَامُ, feeding. Now a person might think, where's hajj, where's tawaf and sa'i and being in Arafah and being fulfilling all the rites of hajj? And where would anybody's mind go to the true virtue of hajj being it'amu ta'am, feeding people? But this is the very great ihsan that the Sahaba ikram made on us, that they inquired and they got this detail for us. It'amu ta'am. So it's obvious a person going for hajj, he's going to be fulfilling all the rites of hajj. How is that going to get done? But now he has to enhance it. He doesn't just want to get just pass through. He wants to truly enhance that hajj, make it mabroor. So it's amu ta'am, feeding. Feeding who? No qualification, no detail to it. Whoever. How much? No detail to it, whatever. To the extent one date he can share with somebody, one some bit of water he gives someone. It'amu ta'am. And many a times a person doesn't realize the value of this. But in a time like Hajj, sometimes a person didn't have his arrangements, or something didn't work out. The food bag got left somewhere. And at that time somebody shared some food with that person who stranded in that manner. He knows the value of it'amu ta'am. But that's not the only aspect. This has, the whole ummah is here. And it'amu ta'am has this effect of bonding hearts. It creates this mahabba. And this is an aspect to learn in Hajj. To create that mahabba and bring it back. To live with mahabba. So it'amu ta'am, this creates that bond. Ifsha'u salam, part of the birr of Hajj. Making salam common. This in another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you can't enter Jannat until you have love with for one another. How are you going to have this love? Ifsha'u salam. Make salam common. In Hajj, 98% of the people, he doesn't know who they are. Maybe 99%. He don't know where they come from. Doesn't know the person. First time he's even seeing who's this person. But he's being told, make salam for everybody. Ifshahu salam. And the third aspect, leenul kalam. Talking in kind words. Now the safar and the journey of Hajj can sometimes be very testing. But in all those halat and conditions that sometimes do come up, a person is being told, you talk kind words. You don't ever cross that line. You talk kind words. You have a problem also, you attend to it without crossing this line. You want to get that enhanced Hajj, Hajjul Mabroor. So you maintain your calm. And this is in the ayat of the Quran Sharif already, which was recited. Allah Ta'ala says, the one who's now undertaken to perform Hajj, then the highlights, فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ, we discussed briefly in the Hadith Sharif, and وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ, no quarreling. Now we're talking about Hajj, and the Quran Sharif is saying no quarreling. If a person tries to start analyzing without understanding on his own, he's trying to, you see, this doesn't, na'uzubillah, seem like, where's the link? But Allah Ta'ala is the knower of everything. And Allah has revealed in His kalam, you're going for Hajj, remember, فَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ, you want a mabroor Hajj. Then for that mabroor Hajj, this is one of the essential aspects. فَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ, no quarreling, no arguments, meaning there will be situations that will test you. Somebody will cut the line. Somebody will be a little bit inconsiderate maybe. Address the situation calmly, address it properly, whatever. But don't ever cross this line. وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. Allah Ta'ala is highlighting this in the Quran Sharif. Can you imagine, person is now being told you're going for Hajj, but he's being told take this. And then the various other details that go with it, time is already running. But now just to take it one step further, this Hadith Sharif that we discussed, Al-Hajjul Mabroor. Now this very, very great reward is based on Hajjul Mabroor. So now what is Hajjul Mabroor? Because that's what we want to try and acquire. That's what we want to achieve. The one very important point to remember in this is that there's only one chance in a person's life to get Hajjul Mabroor. Meaning the Farz Hajj. Get it, Hajjul Mabroor. He doesn't have a second chance. Salah, he performed his Fajr today. It was Farz. Tomorrow morning is Farz also. Likewise, Zuhar, Asar, Maghrib, Isha. Every day it's Farz on him. Person can perform 50 Hajj in his life. Allah made it possible for 100 Hajj also if he made it. But it's only that first Hajj that he made after Bulugh that was his Farz Hajj. The other 49, or if you made 100, the other 99 is nafil. Very great reward, mashallah. But the Farz Hajj was only the first Hajj. So he's only got one opportunity to do it right. And to do it in the best way. And to make it mabroor. The Farz Hajj. There's no second chance for Farz Hajj. So therefore it's very important that the full care is taken to do it right the first time. Because that's the first time and that's the last opportunity for the Farz Hajj. Farz Hajj won't come again. So now this is the need now that to understand that I need to make it mabroor. I need to make it filled with blessing, virtue, with acceptance. So what is the meaning of mabroor? So now, there's various explanations given of what is mabroor. One is what was spelt out in the Hadith Sharif already. Now there's one dimension of what is part of this. The part of making it mabroor is must have all this in it as well. So a person should be trying, and especially in Makkah Mukarrama, one rand that he spends there is rewarded 100,000. One riyal he'll spend there multiplied by 100,000. So this is an opportunity, within a person's means, he should be taking the opportunity of giving sadaqah in Madinah Munawwara as well, multiplied in the Haram Sharif every amal 1,000 times. So in any case, one is to enhance the Hajj with these amal. Then one of the meanings and explanations of mabroor is maqbool. that Hajj which is accepted. So how is it going to become accepted? The most important starting point of acceptance is that it is done correctly. It's not even done correctly, it can't gain acceptance. Person left out some important aspect of Hajj. He's neglected some things that were necessary. So that's now finished. Nothing happened. Or if it happened, it happened so deficiently. So maybe the farz got done, but that real qabooliyat he got left out of. So the first aspect in that qabooliyat is to know the masail. The masail are not difficult. It might sound sometimes a little bit overwhelming, but because it's not something a person does every day, it's not something probably he ever did in his life, so for the first time it sounds like a lot, but it's very important to be fully acquainted before going. But it is more often than not that we'll not remember everything, or in fact maybe forget most of it by the time we get there. But this hasn't been lost, that foundation is there. Now to refresh it as we go along. Every time that something is now coming up to be done, before doing it, just refresh it. So some simple kitab that has the masail in a very concise manner, to take that along. And on the occasions as they come along, refresh the masail. So because we've acquainted ourselves well, a very quick reading of it also will bring it all back. And inshallah, if there are ulama that are with us in our group, our journey, then very easily we'll be able to refer to them to just double check what we're doing is right. So one part of mabrur is maqbool. That requires that the masail be done correctly. Then doing it is one thing, but doing it with the right intention. That is the soul of it. That's part of that ruh. In the Quran Sharif also Allah Ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. Grammatically, this walillahi should apparently be right at the end. But Allah Ta'ala brings it right at the beginning. Now this is a grammatical discussion, that bringing it in the beginning gives a specific meaning. That do this exclusively for Allah Ta'ala. There should be no other motivation, no other intention, nothing else that comes and contaminates the intention. Or nothing else that comes and mixes up things. For Allah alone, walillah, especially for Allah Ta'ala, exclusively for Allah Ta'ala. There should be no thought about now, people should get to know, I'm going for Hajj, and then they must regard me as Haji Sahab, and people must now give me that extra recognition, extra respect, or whatever else, all these things must be out of it. For Allah alone, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ma'asum Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, Imamul Mukhlisin, and the whole makhluk put together, everybody's ikhlas can't come to a fraction of the ikhlas of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he completed his salah and was entering into ihram and recited the talbiyah, Allahumma ja'alu hajjan la riya'a fihi wa la sum'a. Giving the ummah the lesson. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is starting off his hajj now. He made it, just entered into ihram, and now he's about to now start riding. Say, Allah, make this a hajj, la riya'a fihi wa la sum'a. There's no riya in it. It's not being done to show off to anybody. And there's no sum'a in it. Riya happens during the action, and sum'a is part of the advertising that happens after it. So let's make sure that we don't spoil our hajj before we even leave. We don't spoil it while we're there, that every now and again, we're putting something on our status now, we're updating our status, is going higher now. So all the time something is on the status. And social media is keeping up with us, that where we are and what we're doing. And then sometimes some people, mashallah, they're so engrossed that they pose for the picture. That picture itself is haram to start off with. And now this is, it is the peak of shirk of riya. Shirkul Asghar. But now even posing for that, this is deception now. So where this goes? Shaitan takes it from where to where. So, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is teaching us, Hajjan la riya afihi wa la sum'a. Ya Allah, no riya, no sum'a must be. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what can we imagine about his level of ikhlas with Allah Ta'ala? But the lesson was for us. So neither we spoil that hajj before, Don't spoil it during the Hajj, and don't spoil it after the Hajj also. That after the Hajj, a person now, he's now always, one is now out of, somebody asked him something, so he said it. But now to just say things so that it attracts the attention of people, mashallah, this person did this and did that, and so many tawaf you did, mashallah, alhamdulillah. And so all this is washing away everything. Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi, so give one example, one person, he went to visit, so that host, he told his khadim, he said, that jug that I brought from my second Hajj, fill the water in that jug and bring it. You see, it's in this one statement, because that statement was calculated to impress this person, that I performed two Hajj. So it's in one statement that a jug of water, he washed his two Hajj away. Because now he's advertising himself. So now this advertising, unfortunately, in this time of social media, this has become a constant companion of people advertising themselves, advertising their Hajj, advertising their Amal, and as a result, washing it before it even happened to. So this is the very important aspect, purely for Allah Ta'ala. The Hadith Sharif also, man hajja lillah, falam yarfuth walam yafsuq. One who performed Hajj for Allah alone, no ulterior motive, no dunya motive, only for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. And he didn't commit any infringements of a haram and no sin, then he comes like the day he was born. So this is the other part of Hajjul Mabrur, done with total ikhlas. Then another aspect of Hajjul Mabrur is that Hajj which was done in a manner that there is no sin. Now this already in that Maqbool we discussed it, but as a highlight separately, that a person is not involved in the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala in any way. Now one is deliberately doing things that are against the dictates of Ihram. He says, no, I'll give some dumb, and I'll give some... Deliberately doing that is wrong. And it very greatly, it decreases the reward. And this mabroor a person gets deprived of. The other is worse than that, which is what haram at all times. Person now is gone for Hajj, but he's not looking after his tongue. He's sitting sometimes in the Haram Sharif, he's sometimes Ihram in Mina, or in Arafat, Allah knows best where he is. And now idle talk is carrying on, then the ghibat came in between. Now the person is making Hajj and ghibat, and that whole reward of Hajj is all being drained out. He's not looking after his gaze, casting haram glances around. That whole reward of that Hajj is getting drained out. So there's no more, he's no more achieving Hajjul Mabroor. That Hajj is now depleted of all the birr, all the virtue, all the rewards. So on the one hand, fulfilling the rites of Hajj correctly is very important. But to make it mabroor, together with that, have to be completely observant of all the laws of deen and staying far away from any sin. One very common problem is that the proper parda is not observed. Sometimes, because of now people traveling together in one group, so now everybody becomes one so-called one happy family. But there's no such thing as one happy family when they are not mahrams. That is displeasing Allah Ta'ala. How can it be a happy family when Allah is displeased? And as a result of that, that Hajj is being affected. That Hajjul Mabroor is no more now there, because that sin is being incurred. In Mina, in other places, sometimes it becomes a very free-for-all kind of atmosphere, which is totally wrong. So this is the other part of Hajjul Mabroor, that a person is performing the Hajj in a way that he's staying away from all sin, all vice. Then together with this, the amount of good deeds that he will do, the more he does, the more that he's going to enhance this Hajj. In the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala mentions that regarding when the time comes, فَإِذَا أَفَضْتُم مِّنْ عَرَفَاتٍ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ عِنْدَ الْمَشْعَرِ الْحَرَامِ وَاذْكُرُوهُ كَمَا هَدَاكُمْ. Repeatedly you'll find dhikr. فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُم مَنَاسِكَكُمْ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَذِكْرِكُمْ آبَاءَكُمْ أَوْ أَشَدَّ ذِكْرًا. You've now completed your rites of Hajj in terms of the wukuf of Arafah, etc. Now the time has come to be in Mina. People now are tired out of the exertion of the few days that passed. Now they come in Mina, they get so flat and relaxed. The time is just in idle talk. Allah forbid getting worse, that in ghibat, etc. Allah Ta'ala says, engage more in the zikr of Allah Ta'ala now. And gross yourself in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. So the lesson in this, the more amal we will do. Person has his rest, he needs his rest, mustn't skimp on that. Otherwise now he'll push himself, cutting down his normal requirement of sleep. He needs 6 hours, he's making 4 hours. After 4 days, that Josh all died, he's behosh now. Then he's flat, he can't do anything for the next 6 days. So rather he has his full rest that he needs. But then after having his full rest, mustn't create any unrest. Don't get involved in other unnecessary things. Be involved in what is required, how to spend the time correctly. The two T's, the tongue and the time. Look after these two things. Inshallah, this will take a person way ahead in terms of making Hajjul Mabrur. So his time is used correctly. So now, this is one part of Hajjul Mabrur, that he is enhancing it with more amal. Then another very important aspect, which is actually the aspect that is before everything else starts. Person is going for Hajj. Going for Hajj is not just to tick a box. That one thing done now, box got ticked. No, this is a journey of an ashiq. A journey of ishq, of intense love for the beloved, for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is a journey to seek the beloved. So now when a person is going to meet the beloved, then the first thing to do is clean himself. First thing to do is to clean himself. And this cleansing is sincere tawbah. Very deep, sincere tawbah. And sincere tawbah, there's three parts to it. Essential part of it is three parts to it. That one is genuine remorse and regret over what happened. That is the Ruknul Azam. Like how without Arafah, there's no Hajj. Without Nadama and regret and remorse, there's no Tawbah. At-tawbu an-nadamu tawbatun. So that deep regret, to think about how could I have done this? How could I have disobeyed my Rabb in this manner? How could I have transgressed that benefactor of mine who granted me everything, with whose grace I'm surviving, and how I went about things? Feel that remorse after thinking in this manner. Think deeply. And then shed tears of remorse and regret. And don't do it one time and feel done. Spend some time daily repeating this tawbah until the time comes, and even during the journey of Hajj. So cleansing ourselves, so this is one part of tawbah, that regret and remorse. Then the other essential part of tawbah is stopping that sin. Can't be carrying on with it and saying I made tawbah. So now we know what's in our life. So if something is not in order, to stop it now with this regret and remorse. And this is part of going towards this great journey to seek our Rabb. So now whatever is not in order, whether it is in terms of our batin, our internal self, cleansing the heart out of jealousy, of malice, of the ego, love of dunya, we need to again take the advice of the ulama ikram, the mashayikh, how to cleanse our hearts out of that pride, of that arrogance, of all these things. External sins that a person might be still caught up in, to give up that immediately with the deep remorse and regret. If there is something not in order in terms of our appearance, somebody has been not keeping the beard in the way that is required, that at least one first not to trim it lower than that. So to start doing that from now with sincere tawbah, by the time we reach inshallah Madinatul Munawwara, and we have to present ourselves in front of the Rauza Mubarak, at that time we can present ourselves in a way that our heart or our condition can speak that, Ya Rab, Tere Nabi Ki Ya Rab, Shabahat Leke Aya Hu, Hakikat Usko Tu Kar De, Me Surat Leke Aya Hu. That, oh my Rab, I've come with the resemblance of your Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There's only the outward resemblance, Allah, you grant me the reality as well. So in any case, the point is to start off that from now. We want Hajjul Mabrur, Tawbah starts today. Starts already before. Genuine, sincere, deep Tawbah. Turning to Allah Ta'ala in all sincerity and with the firm resolve that inshallah this is out of my life. Never to come back. Allah knows best the future, but that is the firm resolution. Then just to finish off on one more aspect, my time has run out, but what is the alamat? Just before that last part, one more point. The very important thing to bear in mind is that this is a safar, a journey, and it is a journey which is an extraordinary journey. And then there are things that are done in a way that is not normally we used to, in a very short space of time, in such huge crowds, fulfilling so many things, and everybody is trying to do all these things in the same time. So things do become sometimes challenging. Don't complain there, and don't complain when we come back also. Don't wipe that little difficulty that came. To start off with, what we experience is a very small, minor thing compared to, let alone the distant past, even in the recent past, maybe going back 100 years ago, even 50 years ago, what kind of journeys they had to undertake, go by ship over so many days, people get seasick, and what not used to happen, and then they used to travel from Makkah Mukarrama to Madinah Munawwara on camel back, and they get looted on the way, and so many, Allah Ta'ala has made it so easy for us. But that little challenges that come, sometimes some little difficulty comes, that sabr a person made, he got rewarded by Allah Ta'ala. And rewarded very greatly. Inna Allah ma'as sabirin. Now why complain about it and wash it away? Don't complain about it there. Take it in one stride. Do what we have to do to sort the matter out. To save ourselves from the difficulty. Do what we can. But don't complain about it. That becomes a song we sing after that. And when we come back, that becomes a bigger song we sing. Don't complain about what we saw elsewhere happening. Talk about the good things. And more often than not, 98% went all very easily for us. There was some 2%, some discomfort. We talk about that 2% like that was the 98%. So just leave that 2% out also. We talk about the good things, what Allah Ta'ala blessed us. Obviously not again to advertise ourselves, but then as encouragement to somebody, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala made everything so easy, Allah Ta'ala accept. The point is, leave that complaints out. Then the last part, just to finish off on this, what is the sign? Now this is how to try and make it Hajjul Mabrur and Maqbool. But what is a sign that a person can judge for himself? That my Hajj was Maqbool and Mabrur. Now what is the reality? Allah alone knows. And that is only something we'll know on the day of Qiyamah. We can't make any judgment for ourselves on the aspect of my Hajj got accepted. We can only keep hoping and making dua to Allah Ta'ala for that acceptance. But the Ahlullah and Mashaykh, they state that there is a sign by which a person can take some indication. The indication that a person's Hajj was Maqbool and Mabroor, that his life after Hajj is a life of obedience to Allah Ta'ala. His life after Hajj is far better than his life before Hajj. He's come back with his heart attached to Allah Ta'ala. He's come back as a person who's now concerned about making deen his purpose of life and getting close to Allah Ta'ala. So now when a person has returned from Hajj, maybe before Hajj he was not performing his 5 times salah with jama'ah, some was with jama'ah, something was happening at home. Now all his salah, mashallah, he's very, very punctual on salah with jama'ah. He was perhaps involved in some sins before Hajj. MashaAllah, after Hajj, all that has all disappeared from his life. Maybe his appearance wasn't according to Shariat. Now, Alhamdulillah, he's maintaining the correct appearance. Whatever other things that were not in order has come right, that is an indication that inshallah, this Hajj has received acceptance from Allah Ta'ala, hence this tawfiq of now moving forward in deen and getting closer to Allah Ta'ala has come. So that is something to keep asking and making dua for. Keep begging Allah Ta'ala's help, that Allah Ta'ala bless one with a Hajjul Mabroor, Hajjul Maqbool, that Hajj which has all these things encompassed in it. And this is a journey where together with everything else, very deep, excessive dua. Dua for ourselves, our families, dua for the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is a journey of dua. And a journey to connect ourselves to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.